This is a live special report from ABC News at the White House. On the north lawn of the portico of the White House, three congressional leaders from the Senate, Senator Hugh Scott of Pennsylvania, Congressman John Rhodes, and Senator Barry Goldwater, now talking to reporters. We switch to the North Lawn.
Very gloomy on Capitol Hill, and that it is a very distressing situation, and we gave him further evaluations, which I think ought to remain between ourselves.
Did any of you recommend that he resign?
No, that subject didn't even come up.
Senator Goldwater, what about a report today that you had been telling members on the Hill the president was about to resign and stick by their telephone?
Well, I'm not allowed to swear, but it's the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. This is the first time I've been at the White House in over 2 weeks, and the last time was to visit with Dean Birch. The last time I saw the president was flying out to Arizona with him back in early May. And furthermore, NBC stated that I came up here last night and found all the gates bolted and I was not allowed in. That also is a GD lie. I went home and cooked my dinner, had five or six drinks, and went to bed.
Senator Scott, is it your assessment that if the president does not resign, he will be impeached, convicted, and removed?
I have made no assessment in discussions with the president, and we have had general discussions in our leadership, and there have been various points of view, and I'm not free to discuss them further.
Did you gentlemen request this meeting?
No, the president invited us. I said that at the outset.
Senator, did you discuss possible immunity for the president if he resigned?
No, that subject was not touched on.
Senator Goldwater, do you think the president will be convicted if he's impeached?
Well, if he's impeached by the House,
yes, will he be convicted by the Senate?
I have no way of knowing. We have no way of making nose counts. I myself have not made up my mind. And I think I can speak for most of the senators that they haven't made up their minds as to the three articles or the 15 points contained therein.
Senator, what do you think
when he will make his decision and announce it?
No, that wasn't even discussed.
Any indication that
not at all.
Did he say he intended to stay?
John?
The president said nothing like that. The discussion was quite general in tone. And as I mentioned before, we were four old friends talking over a very painful situation. There was no time element involved. There was no idea given as to what any final decision might be.
Gentlemen, when you say the situation was gloomy, that you reported it was gloomy, what specifically did you mean?
Well, I think everybody knows what I meant. It's well known that the situation on the floor of the House has deteriorated to the extent that impeachment is really a foregone conclusion.
The gentleman in the Senate.
Well, here's the leader of the Senate. Well, it is obvious that while there's been no nose count, there has been some erosion of support in the Senate. I would assume the president's aware of that, and certainly we are aware of it, but we have not discussed or taken any counts ourselves, as far as I know.
Did he talk about the end of the constitutional process? We've been told at the White House for several days that the president wanted to follow the constitutional process. That has some end point to it.
No, that wasn't discussed in that form. The president stressed that his decisions are made and will be made entirely in the national interest.
What was his mood to the gloomy forecast, sir?
The president is in entire control of himself. He is serene, and he was most amiable. And I assume that he simply accepted our evaluation since he had solicited our views.
Would the House forego impeachment and the Senate forego a trial if he offered to resign? Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know what would be done by the House or the Senate, of course, but the thought strikes me that if there were a resignation, and I don't know whether there will be or not, that the matter would be completely mooted, that there would be no useful purpose to be served if any proceedings were to continue in either body.
And gentlemen, did you not tell the president that?
The president did not ask, and I did not tell him that.
Gentlemen, did you...
Thank you very much, gentlemen. They really have to go.
Senator Hugh Scott of Pennsylvania, the Republican leader of the Senate, GOP elder statesman Senator Barry Goldwater, Congressman John Rhodes of Arizona, the House Republican leader, in an impromptu news conference on the north lawn of the White House after a meeting of about 30 minutes with the president. And the import of it is the decision lies with the president, who has ostensibly not yet made up his mind. One of the gentlemen in the news conference, I believe it was Congressman Rhodes, described the session as an assessment of the situation by old friends. They pictured a president who was somewhat gloomy, a president currently wrestling with the decision of whether to resign or whether to go through with a long and painful and arduous impeachment process. This ties in with the strong indications that were received here at the White House by newsmen this afternoon that President Nixon is going to resist immense pressures to quit quickly, and that it's pretty well agreed when, rather than if he resigns, he's going to do it under conditions that he sets for himself. This is Jerry Landay at the White House. This has been a live special report from ABC News.
This is news from American Contemporary Radio. I'm Keith Berman in New York. Top-level meeting at the White House. Details on that story in 60 seconds.
In the breath of a child lies the hope.
Million children in the United States who should be running, laughing, and playing are coughing, wheezing, and choking. 6 million boys and girls are suffering from serious lung-damaging diseases. The National Cystic Fibrosis Research Foundation needs your help to help them.
In the breath of a child lies the hope of a
President Nixon called to the White House this afternoon Senate Republican leader Hugh Scott of Pennsylvania, Senator Barry Goldwater, and House Republican leader John Rhodes. The meeting was to assess the current situation regarding impeachment. After the meeting, Senator Goldwater told newsmen the president has made no decision on whether to resign. Congressman Rhodes told newsmen,
"The president said nothing like that. The discussion was quite general in tone. And as I mentioned before, we were four old friends talking over a very painful situation. There was no time element involved. There was no idea given as to what any final decision might be."
House Republican leader John Rhodes. Rumors the president is about to resign swept Washington and the rest of the country today, but there's still nothing concrete, only speculation. White House spokesman Gerald Warren told newsmen at the White House this afternoon he can't confirm or deny any of the speculations, but did say there are no plans for the president to go on the air with any kind of an announcement today. Earlier today, both the Phoenix Gazette and the Providence Journal Bulletin reported the president would resign and quoted Washington sources close to the president. White House attorney James St. Clair this afternoon denied a report. A member of the president's legal defense team told him that all preparations to defend the president in an impeachment proceeding have stopped. St. Clair says the report is not true. Preparations are continuing. There's also talk on Capitol Hill this evening that Congress could possibly be asked to grant the president immunity from criminal prosecution if he leaves the office voluntarily. Republican Senator Lowell Weicker of Connecticut had this comment on the chances.
"I think the granting of immunity in this instance would not be proper unless we want to go ahead and legislate for all Americans some sort of an immunity or amnesty statute, and that's not under consideration."
Republican Senator Edward Brooke of Massachusetts offered a different view on the possibility of immunity for the president.
"I just don't think that the American people want to see an American president go to jail if in fact, he were convicted of a crime. I don't say that he would be, but if he was."
Senator Brooks says no answer has yet been received from the White House to a message from a group of Republican senators urging the president to resign. Senate Democratic leader Mike Mansfield told newsmen today the Senate should conduct an impeachment trial of the president even if he does resign. Mansfield said the idea is his own. The final decision would be up to the Senate itself. Vice President Ford met for an hour this morning with White House Chief of Staff Alexander Haig, then went to Congress for talks with House Republican leader John Rhodes of Arizona. No word on what was discussed other than the talk centered on the current situation. Ford's office says the vice president still intends to leave tomorrow for an 11-day trip that will take him to the West Coast and Hawaii. In Washington's federal court this morning, Texas attorney Jake Jacobson pleaded guilty to a charge. He gave former Treasury Secretary John Connally a $10,000 bribe from dairy interests. In his guilty plea, Jacobson said he would testify against Connally. Jacobson faces a $10,000 fine and 2 years in jail. Connally enters his plea Friday. This is ABC Contemporary Radio.
The news. We just don't report it. We take you there. This is Keith Berman for American Contemporary Radio News. Any competent news organization can tell you what's going on, but at Contemporary Radio, we do more. Our worldwide nonstop news team takes you behind the scenes where you can hear the newsmakers themselves. All the newsmakers. Politicians, diplomats, executives, and rock stars. Lawmakers and culture breakers. The people who make the 70s go in whatever direction. For News Plus, stay tuned to the station and the American Contemporary Radio Network.
That's the latest news. I'm Keith Berman in New York for American Contemporary Radio. A service of ABC News.
More news from where it's being made, gathered by Network Radio's largest news staff. Here is news around the world. This is Dan Streeter for American Information Radio in New York. Three top Republican congressmen have just ended a meeting at the White House with President Nixon. There is no indication from what these congressmen have just told newsmen that President Nixon is about to resign. Before that meeting, White House spokesman Gerald Warren further discounted the speculation of a presidential resignation that had mounted in Washington all day. Warren told newsmen there would be no presidential speech this day. Warren also told newsmen he was standing by his statements of yesterday that the president did not intend to resign. At the White House meeting with the president were Senate Republican leader Hugh Scott of Pennsylvania, Republican Senator Barry Goldwater of Arizona, and House Republican leader John Rhodes of Arizona. Rhodes was asked if presidential resignation was discussed.
The president said nothing like that. The discussion was quite general in tone, and as I mentioned before, we were four old friends talking over a very painful situation. There was no time element involved. There was no idea given as to what any final decision might be.
At the meeting with Rhodes, Senator Scott, who was asked if the president was told about any erosion of support for him in the Senate.
It is obvious that while there's been no nose count, there has been some erosion of support in the Senate. I would assume the president's aware of that, and certainly we are aware of it, but we have not discussed or taken any counts ourselves, as far as I know.
Senate Republican leader Hugh Scott of Pennsylvania. I'll have more news in a moment.
Howdy, Steve Allen here with a progress report from Dotson. Thanks to you, Dotson has passed the halfway point in its goal of sending 5,000 needy boys and girls of every race and creed to Y Camp. Dotson has turned over a check for $125,000 to the YMCA. Thousands and thousands of people all over the country made it possible by taking Dotson test drives. You can help too. Just visit your participating Dotson dealer, take a test drive, and Dotson will donate money in your name to the YMCA Campership Fund. It's as simple as that. And who knows, you might even find Dotson's your kind of car. There are 13 gas-saving models, including the luxury economy car, the Dotson 610. So take your test drive now. But hurry, the program ends August 31st. Drive a Dotson, help send a kid to Y Camp. Take your test drive soon at any of nearly 1,000 Dotson dealers coast to coast.
Federal Judge John Sirica has been told that 9 of the remaining Watergate tapes subpoenaed from the White House apparently were never recorded. White House lawyers made the disclosure to Sirica as they turned over the last of the presidential recordings that were ordered surrendered by the Supreme Court. The former top lawyer for the Associated Milk Producers Cooperative has pleaded guilty to a charge of bribing the former Secretary of the Treasury. The payment was allegedly for help in persuading President Nixon to increase federal milk price supports in 1971. Correspondent David Shoemaker reports from federal court in Washington.
No one in the special prosecutor's office likes the word deal, but today it became clear Texas lawyer Jake Jacobson had extracted significant concessions in exchange for agreeing to testify against John Connally. Jacobson had faced almost 50 years in prison for his part not only in the milk price support case, but a Texas savings and loan scandal. All those charges now have been wiped out, and all that is left is a single bribery count. Maximum sentence, not more than 2 years. Jacobson will be the prosecutor's principal witness, only direct witness, to their claim that Connolly, as Treasury Secretary, accepted $10,000 to influence the president to raise milk price supports. David Shumasher, ABC News, at District Court in Washington.
The Senate Rules Committee has voted 8-1 to allow live broadcast coverage should the Senate hold a presidential impeachment trial. Republican Senator Carl Curtis of Nebraska says Congress should take a 30-day recess on the basis that members spend their time talking with their constituents. Curtis remains one of President Nixon's strongest supporters. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up nearly 24 points. This is Information Radio News.
Opelika, Apex, Sedalia, Ogallala, Tupelo, Waukesha, Casper, Triangle, Kankakee, Kissimmee, Hickory...
There's a Ramada Inn just about anywhere anybody would want to go. And you can make reservations at any of them by calling one toll-free number. 800-228-2828. 800-228-2828. At Ramada Inns, you're always welcome home, wherever we are.
Phoenix, Fresno, Pigeon Forge... Pigeon Forge...
I'm Dan Streeter for American Information Radio, and this is news around the world. Republican Senator Edward Brooke of Massachusetts feels that being forced to resign the presidency would be sufficient punishment for President Nixon. On Capitol Hill, Brooke explains...
If President Nixon resigned from office, that the Congress should pass a sense of the Congress resolution that the president not be subjected to any criminal prosecution in the event that he has committed the crimes. I think that the penalty of stepping down from the highest elected office in the country and in the world would be enough.
But Brooke's compassion is not shared by another Republican senator. On Capitol Hill, Lowell Weicker of Connecticut tells newsmen...
I think the granting of immunity in this instance would not be proper... Unless we want to go ahead and legislate for all Americans some sort of an immunity or amnesty statute, and that's not under consideration.
Weicker is a member of the Senate Rules Committee. And that's the story on presidential immunity on News Around the World. The Cleveland Plain Dealer wants President Nixon to resign. In Cleveland, the Plain Dealer's Thomas Guthrie reads part of his newspaper's editorial.
President Richard M. Nixon should resign from office now. The president's shocking admission that he deliberately withheld information and misled Congress and the nation about the Watergate cover-up now makes his removal from office a certainty.
The Cleveland Plain Dealer's opinion is opposed by the Indianapolis Star. In Indianapolis, Woolsey Teller reads a part of his newspaper's editorial.
The newly disclosed evidence does not, as we view it, make all that much difference. It does not change the fundamental elements of the total situation. Much is being made of the point that disclosures are fresh evidence that the president has lied to the people. So they are. We wish politicians wouldn't lie to the people, but they've been doing it from the beginning of politics. It's nothing new, and it's not an impeachable offense.
And that's the view of the Indianapolis Star. Turkish invasion forces have further extended their control of territory in the Karenia area on Cyprus. Correspondent Jim Giggins filed this report from near the Cyprus village of Lapitos. Philippe Petit performed an unauthorized high-wire act here in New York this morning. Petit walked a high-wire between the twin towers of the World Trade Center at 110 stories high, the second tallest building in the world. One of the eyewitnesses to the daring feat was John Tillman, who tells us...
I went out, looked up, and lo and behold, there was a wire stretched to some 130 feet from the north to the south tower. And what at first looked like a big knot in the rope turned out to be a moving human being with a long circus-type balancing pole.
And Tillman's account is expanded by another eyewitness, Curtis Badden.
He was holding a pole for balance. And at one point, when he was in between the two towers,
He laid down on the rope, and he did a headstand also.
And Batten says he thought the high wire walking artist would slip and fall. But Philippe Petit didn't fall. However, he was later arrested for trespassing. Petit says he really doesn't know why he did it. There were two newspapers that reported today that President Nixon would resign. The two, the Providence, Rhode Island Journal Bulletin and the Phoenix, Arizona Gazette, said the president would resign, saying they had their information from very reliable sources. The Gazette even said the president would resign before the day was over. This is Dan Streeter in New York, and this has been News Around the World on the American Information Radio Network, a service of ABC News.
A top-level meeting at the White House ended about half an hour ago with word President Nixon has made no decision on whether to resign. Attending the meeting with President Nixon were Senator Barry Goldwater, Senate Republican leader Hugh Scott, and House GOP leader John Rhodes. Congressman Rhodes, in a news conference on the White House lawn, was asked if President Nixon talked about his possible resignation.
The president said nothing like that. The discussion was quite general in tone. And as I mentioned before, we were four old friends talking over a very painful situation. There was no time element involved. There was no idea given as to what any final decision might be.
House Republican leader John Rhodes. Newsmen asked Senate Republican leader Hugh Scott if President Nixon has been told about the erosion of support for him in the Senate.
It is obvious that while there's been no nose count, there has been some erosion of support in the Senate. I would assume the president's aware of that, and certainly we are aware of it, but we have not discussed or taken any counts ourselves, as far as I know.
Senate Republican leader Hugh Scott. Senator Goldwater said the president has made no decision on resignation and that the three Republicans made no suggestions. I'm Mike Rich, American FM Radio.
Mo, mo, Motorola, something else in sound on wheels.
Now, big, beautiful sound comes in small packages from Motorola. Mighty Motorola mini car tape players and radios. Great ideas for today's smaller cars. Great ideas you can hear at your Motorola dealer.
Mo, mo, Motorola, something else in sound on wheels.
Hey, Connie Sloan, magazine editor. How's your love life?
Darling, luncheon with Jacques, theater with Ramon, cocktails with Pierre.
How's your love life?
Gin rummy with mother.
How's your love life?
Maybe yours needs Ultra Bright. Dynamite taste and more whitener than any leading toothpaste. Ultra Bright, the one that puts sex appeal in a tube, wants to know...
How's your love life?
Ultra Bright's available to help yours.
Many Republican senators sent personal messages to President Nixon today asking him to resign. Almost all 43 Republican senators met in closed session and debated the president's position. Senate Democratic leader Mike Mansfield said even if the president resigns, the constitutional process of impeachment and a Senate trial should be carried out. If President Nixon resigns or is removed from office following a Senate trial, should the president be granted immunity, freedom from prosecution? Here's an opinion from Senator Lowell Weicker on Capitol Hill.
I think the granting of immunity in this instance would not be proper unless we want to go ahead and legislate for all Americans some sort of an immunity or amnesty statute, and that's not under consideration.
Another opinion on the subject of presidential immunity from Republican Senator Edward Brooke of Massachusetts.
I just don't think that the American people want to see an American president go to jail if in fact, he were convicted of a crime. I don't say that he would be, but if he was.
Senator Edward Brooke. Rabbi Baruch Korf, a strong backer of President Nixon, says he now thinks President Nixon will resign unless, Korf says, the public floods the White House with messages of support. The speculation over the president's resignation triggered another buying wave on Wall Street today, driving prices sharply higher. The Dow Jones Industrials closed up more than 23.5 points. This is ABC FM Radio. The Senate Rules Committee followed yesterday's action by the House Rules Committee and voted in favor of allowing live broadcast coverage of President Nixon's Senate trial should he be impeached in the House. The vote was 8-1 in favor. Today's vote suspends a rule which now bans any broadcast coverage in the Senate.
The Israelis say their planes hit Arab terrorist targets in southern Lebanon today. The Lebanese said later some civilians were killed in the attack and that many other civilians were wounded. And on the eve of the resumption of the Cyprus talks in Geneva, there were reports of more fighting in Cyprus and the capture of more territory by the Turkish forces. The Greek Cypriots, saying they cannot fight the Turkish artillery with their rifles, have been retreating. And AP says the Greek foreign minister of Cyprus has contacted the United States to ask for its intervention. I'm Mike Rich in New York. That's news from the American FM Radio Network. A service of ABC News.
This is Edward P. Morgan, ABC News, Washington, with the shape of one man's opinion. A look at a repressive ally after this word.
Agent Doug Mays of Columbia, Maryland, explains why State Farm Fire and Casualty is number one in homeowners insurance.
A person can see a State Farm agent and know that he's getting all the things that are normally encompassed in a homeowner's policy: high quality protection, proper premiums or competitive premiums, and the big aspect of having somebody available to take care of his problems. I think this has been in an era today where so many things are becoming so impersonal and so distant from all of us. The ability to deal with the man on a one-on-one basis, eye to eye, and be able to sit down and work out what his problems are, and if we can solve those with State Farm homeowners coverage, and in the same time are able to save him money, then here again, we've only enhanced our position as number one, and I think that it will always remain that way.
And like a good neighbor,
while Americans are beginning to realize in astonishment how near a brush the Nixon administration gave them with a kind of authoritarian regime, a so-called ally, President Park of South Korea, is intensifying his reign of repression, terror, and torture. The situation was bad when I was in Seoul a year ago. Now it's become substantially worse, all in the name of national security, what a familiar phrase, security against the communist regime of North Korea. Hardly a day goes by without reports of new arrests, wider repressions. Park scrapped the Constitution in the fall of 72, confected a new legality, making him dictator with the backing of his 600,000-man American-equipped army, and rendering his political opposition virtually powerless. What does all this have to do, though, with us? After all, Korea is half a world away. The war, remember the Korean War, is over. And besides, our troops and prisoners are home from Vietnam. Well, we still have 42,000 troops in Korea under the ersatz shield of a UN command, but more specifically under a mutual security pact with Seoul to keep the peace in the area. The administration line here is that while we don't condone all of Park's policies, it is necessary to continue our military commitment for security reasons. There's something to that, but not a great deal. Kim Il-sung, who runs North Korea, has been described as one of the last of the Stalinist tyrants. He is a potential menace, but not, several informed observers believe, an actual threat. One of our illustrious students of the Far East, Harvard's Edwin O. Reischauer, former ambassador to Japan, told a House committee the other day Park's repression could not be condoned, and therefore he recommended at least a partial withdrawal of U.S. forces in protest. Until now, he'd supported our troop commitment, but Park's successes needed to be curbed. In Seoul last September, high Western civilian and military sources said they did not think a reduction in U.S. strength would tempt Kim to invade South Korea. As an officer put it, a cut from 63 to 42,000 in 71 was made without the world coming to an end. On a further cut, he was more cagey, but conceded a small one could be made if gradual. It is ironic, if not scandalous, how ready Washington is to embrace tyrants. There was, for example, the now deposed military junta in Greece, a similar cabal in Brazil, the new nervous repressive junta in Chile, Chu in Saigon and Park in Seoul. The rationale is that this is a known situation versus the unknown of inexperienced or unstable civilian leaders, that it tends to produce order over chaos. We can't, of course, make the world do our bidding and shouldn't try, as we seem to be doing for a while after World War II. But I know of no law that restrains us from withholding our approval and favors from despots. I'll have a footnote in 30 seconds.
I'm Jill St. John. I'm an actress, and I pamper my body. That's why I kept switching underarm sprays, until I found the one that gives me everything I want, new Body All Powdery Spray without talc. It gives me the comfort of powder, yet it's almost invisible on my skin. And the deodorant, like it says on the label, is micro-encapsulated, so it keeps releasing fresh deodorant at the first hint of moisture. New body all powdery spray without talc. I'll never switch again.
Someday, I would like to see us run the risk of lining up on the side of democracy, a product we're supposed to be peddling. This is Edward P. Morgan, ABC News, Washington, with The Shape of One Man's Opinion.